miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Welcome back to hour number three, Sheeman and Shepherd. Without the Sheemer, he is out for the week on vacay, but I am back after a couple of weeks off. Chris in the house as well. Dude looks like a lady. Is that an ode to you? Ellen DeGeneres, that kind of thing?
Nope.
No?
Wasn't.
No? Mrs. Doubtfire made the song famous back in the day, Robin Williams.
See, if I would have said that, I feel like I would have been mocked. What? Oh, right. Aerosmith, so much more than a movie.
What do you mean?
I just feel like I would have been mocked for it. Whenever I make a movie reference, I seem to get mocked pretty heavily.
Well, the song was in the movie. I don't
okay,
mock
I'm aware
you
of
for
that,
it.
But was it like
what have I ever mocked
was
you
it
for
out
songs
before that? Oh, there's a long list
oh,
of
yeah.
it.
Oh, I was out before that. Someone's very sensitive, LeBron. 239-337-3776. I missed the mocking. I really do. Anything crazy happened while I really was out of it for a couple of weeks.
So. What do you mean crazy?
I mean,
on the
I
show?
Don't know, crazy. Any other crazy sandwich bets that happened that I should know about?
No.
I'll bring you one. I'll bring you yours in tomorrow.
Thank you.
I did say the AD, even though I think Kawhi really was the. What happened was is the Lakers.
No, what happened was AD waived his $4 million yeah. trade bonus.
Well, it did happen.
And I won a sandwich off of it.
Yeah, you did. You did. But he only waived it because he thought. That KD was...
Kawhi.
I mean, Kawhi was going to go join them. Had it all figured out.
Yeah.
You think LeBron's pissed? You think LeBron's pissed that didn't happen? Do you think he feels betrayed?
Yeah,
Do you think he feels betrayed?
I don't know about betrayed because I don't know how much went into it on the backside, how much recruiting he actually did. I imagine it was sizable amount. You know, a couple texts,
yeah.
maybe FaceTiming with Kawhi, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. But I do think the NBA is wide open. All right, our Twin Peaks, our Twitter poll, as we pivot to baseball, because it's some interesting numbers I got to tell you about. Our Twin Peaks Twitter poll at 99.3 ESPN Radio says, will you make a point to watch the hashtag home run derby or the little dinky home run hitting contest tonight? 146 votes so far. 79% say no. Hell no.
That's surprising.
21% say yes. I'm not surprised.
Well,
there's too many options.
Okay, and I know you got some stats that you want to get into, and we've got the hour to get. But
I'll run down the list of the Home Run Derby participants.
Well, I was having a really good conversation in the hallway today with our business manager, Shane, and him talking about he's got a 14-year-old son who's a big Yankees fan, and we were more talking about why the Rays can't catch on. This kid was born here, but, you know, his dad was a Yankees fan, and he wanted that camaraderie with his dad. Makes sense. But as we're talking, I'm kind of going into, yeah, man, this is the time of the year where I kind of give up the remote, and I let, you know, my wife pick a few shows that we'll watch together, and I'm not dialed into baseball every night. And it's like NBA free agency has become such a big deal that's almost the bigger sport right now than even baseball.
It is, and you can't get, I'm telling you, but there's still way too many. I'm just telling you, watching some of these Red Sox debacles, you know, and now they've won 4 in a row, and I get all that. But not the only team. Dodgers are one of the best teams in baseball, might be the best, what they're doing. But all these teams that score a lot of runs, it takes 4 hours. These games are ridiculously
forever to get through a game.
Long. Yankees, the same thing. A lot of them are ridiculously long. Teams that need bullpen help. You know, it's just 10-6 is a common score now. All these ridiculous offensive numbers.
Which saw something, I believe it was Jeff Passan earlier today, that the Madison Bumgarner trade market looks like it's narrowing down to the Yankees, the Cubs, and I want to say the Dodgers. So, just take that for what it's worth.
So, if the playoffs started today, you would have, as your division winners, the Yankees, the Minnesota Twins, and my friend Rocco Baldelli, the manager, went to my high school, of the Twins, hoping will be on with us at some point over the next 3 days. I've reached out to him again. He's been so busy and so swamped, and I'm the last thing that's on his mind. But he did promise me he would make an effort. So hopefully to get his thoughts on what the Twins are doing, and they have the second-best record in American League after the Yankees, only by a game and a half. And then the Houston Astros in the American League. And in the National League, the division right now, the Atlanta Braves, Chicago Cubs, and the L.A. Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers have been absolutely spectacular. There is no getting around that. Does anybody even know who Jock Peterson is? He's in the Home Run Derby contest. I bet you a lot of people don't.
One of the great young players that the Dodgers have.
Absolutely. And they're coming in on a 3-game losing streak. But they're, you know, they've lost back-to-back World Series. So they're on a mission. If I had to pick a team right now, I'd probably pick them. I just think they're on a mission. But there's a lot of baseball left. The Cubs are hanging on for dear life. Here are the Cubs at 4 games over .500 and in first place by a half a game over the Milwaukee Brewers.
But that whole division.
And St. Louis is only 2 games out. The Pirates are only 2.5. The freaking Reds, who suck, are only 4.5 games behind.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. In that division, you don't have the bottom of the barrel team that you have in, say, the NL East, where when you got a 4-game set against the Marlins, you're kind of saying, okay, we got to win all four of these. You're going into every inter-NL Central 3-4-game set saying, man, let's get a split. I mean, it's that deep of a division right now. Speaking of the Reds, you see their uniforms yesterday?
Yes. Pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
They only lost 10-1, right, to Cleveland?
Did that. I didn't see the score. I just saw my phone was blowing up with sleeveless baseball jerseys.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. Hey,
which I'm okay if you've got the shirt underneath. I actually think that that's a cool baseball jersey. The Reds used to wear it with Griffey. And I think you could go back to that, and I'd be cool with it.
And then we have the Philadelphia Phillies, who are not in first place, but close. One Bryce Harper, who makes $800 million, has batting .253 with 16 homers.
It went up.
And 62 RBI.
He was below .250 2 weeks ago, so he had a good couple weeks there. Good for him. Good for Bryce.
And the reason why I went up a little bit, he went 3-for-4 with a home run and a walk and 4 RBI Sunday against the Marlins.
Well, it's the Marlins.
His 3 hits, his most since May 30th.
Which, you know, the Marlins being 19.5 back at the All-Star break, that's not good. But the Baltimore Orioles are 30.5 games behind the Yankees in the AL. It's the All-Star break, and they're mathematically eliminated from.
They were mathematically eliminated during the national anthem.
It's
of
unbelievable.
Game one.
The Orioles 30.5 back in the AL Central. The Tigers 26 back. Well, the Royals are 27 back.
I want to get back to the American League East for a second.
It's unbelievable.
The Braves on top by 6 games over the Washington Nationals. Yes, not Philadelphia, the Nationals. Philadelphia 6.5 out. The Mets are an absolute disaster. And what's the stat I heard? Baseball has been around for, 115 years. They are the first team in Major League history. I know they didn't keep track of the save stats a lot. This is true. They're the first team, the Mets, in Major League Baseball history to have back-to-back months of 8 blown saves in a month.
Oh my God.
Never been done before.
It's unbelievable what they're doing. Yeah. They get to the 8th inning and they cannot get an out.
And they make fundamental errors. I mean, they routine 6-3 plays. I mean, shortstop. I mean, just it is a big. Can't turn a double play. They cannot get out of their own way. So, in the American League, again, Houston's up 7.5 games. The Oakland A's continue. It's amazing. It's amazing what Billy Bean. I mean, here they are. They're 50-41. There they are, right there. The Twins, as you said, Cleveland not far behind. Terry Francona's really done a magnificent job with that team because they got rid of a lot of people. And they've had some injury bugs, but the Indians are hanging around.
Oh,
they'd be in first place in any other year. They're 12 games over 500, 15-38. They've won their last 6.
Yeah, they've won 6 in a row. That's where it's a big. But in that AL Central, it's kind of what I talked about with like the opposite of the NL Central. When you've got 3-4 game series with the Tigers and Royals, when you're the Twins and Indians, you have to take advantage of them. You can't afford to split a four-game set with the Tigers, who are 26 games out of the division.
That's been a Red Sox problem, too, this year. Not lately, they swept the Tigers, but, I mean, they've had issues with Baltimore. They've had issues with Toronto earlier. And, you know, they had some issues most of the season of beating good teams. They've been better lately. The Yankees overall just been kind of cruising right along. I know they've lost their last two. But I still think this is and the Tampa Bay Rays continue to amaze at 52-39, 6.5 games back, and the 2.5 games up on the two up in the loss column of the Red Sox. So, but if you look at the wild card, so we gave the division winners. If you look at the wild card, first two would be Tampa Bay. They would be in the playoffs right now, as would the Cleveland Indians. They're your two wild card teams. The Oakland A's are right behind, game and a half behind, and the Red Sox are two games behind. Texas is three games behind. So there's a lot of baseball to be left. We carry the Red Sox here. We're going to carry most of their games the rest of the way. And look, to me, it's all about Chris Sale. And they need bullpen help. I don't know how they're going to get it, but they need some bullpen help. It's been better, a little bit better lately, but very, very inconsistent. David Price threw 99 pitches yesterday in five innings. But he has been their best starter, consistent starter by far. Sale has gone through stretches, a lot of stretches where they win, or he gets a lot of strikeouts, but they don't win. Gets no decisions, or he gets lit up. And then over in the National League, you have the Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia Phillies. They would be your two wild card teams, with Milwaukee a half game behind and Arizona a game and a half behind. Well, we'll get into more of that and some more baseball stats as well, but we'll head to the phones right now, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. And Sean Lehigh is up next on Sheeman and Shepard with Pete and Chris today on 99.3 ESPN. What's up, Sean?
What up, Pete? Welcome back, man.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great. You guys already talked about this, but I don't get off until 4, so
that's
I'm
okay.
Ask you to talk about it again. Sorry.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Bring it on.
Before I ask your opinion on something, I just want to give you guys a round of applause. I remember your predecessors, when we would fall into this black hole of sports like we're in right now, would talk about the most mind-numbing, god-awful sports news ever. And, like, I literally would just shut them off for months.
It's called being lazy. That's what that is. We're not going to do that. There's always something going on. And I'll tell you what, Sean, I could do a whole show on what your favorite cookie is and probably get a ton of calls. And make it entertaining. Right. So, I mean, we have that capability. Yeah. We have the technology.
I'll tell you, man, I literally am somebody who could, like, if I could care less about baseball, I would care less. But I found myself while I was waiting for you guys, like, listening to you talk about baseball, and I'm like, I'll be damned. I'm kind of interested now.
Yeah.
Like, they're painting that in a pretty, pretty nice picture. But, yeah, no, I don't care. anyway, about the NBA. So I saw the move, you know, obviously Kawhi made to the Clippers, you know, with L.A., and then I immediately, right off the top of my head, I thought, well, that's a wrap, man, because the Clippers, they're loaded. They got depth. But then I heard the other acquisitions that L.A. made. They picked up who? Danny Green, Boogie Cousins, and who else?
Caldwell Pope.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm listening to all this stuff, and now I don't so quickly jump right on the Clipper bandwagon. So going forward, I don't really think it matters much about the East. I think it's pretty clear that the winner is going to come out of the West this year if everybody stays.
Really? Healthy. I don't know how you figure that.
You think?
No, I don't think. I think there's eight teams. I think you can go fourth in the East and four in the West. I don't think anybody is that dominant, at least for this one year, until KD comes back. And I don't know what Kyrie is going to do to that Brooklyn team. But he and KD should be formidable, not this year, obviously, but next year. But no, I think I don't think any one team is dominant. Maybe you give a slight edge. I think the 76ers without Horford now, depending if Ben Simmons and Embiid can play well together, that could be the Sixers, you got to put them almost right at the top. I think the Celtics with Kemba Walker and the talent that they have still on that team is a lot, and I think they're going to be much more balanced.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you guys have done this, and I'll let you guys get out of here, but have you guys picked your winners for the East and the West yet? And if you haven't,
for next year?
No,
the Lakers don't even have a half a team yet. But I think, I think the Lakers and Clippers, obviously. Utah has got a hell of a team.
Right.
They're going to be real good. Denver's real good. And I think what's going to be fascinating about the Lakers, Sean, brought it up, is Vogel, which I think is already a lame duck coach, with Boogie Cousins with Rajon Rondo, mm-hmm. with LeBron. I mean, that alone is enough to give you a headache for, you know, a long yeah. If things don't go well, it's going to be real. There's so much pressure on that Laker team. If they don't reach the finals this year, people are going to lose their minds. So
yep.
if it doesn't go well early, you watch the chance for Jason Kidd and the assistant head coach.
Cool. Well, I appreciate your input. Thanks for keeping us entertained, guys.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I actually got these are from Bet Online right now. I've got the updated NBA Eastern Western Conference odds right now in
Laker.
I'll start in the West.
Yeah.
Clippers right now are favorites in the West. They're 7-4, so just under 2-1.
Yep.
Lakers are second, 5-2. So
yeah, that's 2.5.
2.5-1.
Yep. That's ridiculous.
The Warriors are actually third.
Yeah.
Third best odds, 7-1.
Hear that, Craig?
7-1.
I'll take a large steak and cheese.
Again, these are according to Bet Online. Yep. You've got the Rockets at 9-1, Jazz at 10-1, which I think is a great play. The Nuggets at 12-1, and Portland at 25-1, Dallas at 28-1. Then you start getting into a bunch
Where are the Celtics and 76ers?
Okay, so now I'll go to the East.
Okay, yeah.
The Bucks are favored right now in the East.
Yep.
That's 2-1. The Sixers are 3-1. Then you've got the Celtics, Nets, and Raptors all at 8-1. So a pretty sizable drop right there. The Pacers are 12-1, Miami Heat 25-1, then you got the Knicks and the Magic at 33-1, and then you get, you know, into your Atlanta, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland teams that we don't. But I think Miami's interesting at 25-1.
I would put money on them now, because if they get Russell Westbrook, that'll go down to
12-1. Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll get cut in half. And 1984 texting in Avery Bradley to the Lakers as well. Yeah. That's one of those moves.
He's not what he used. He was a great defender, and he is a good piece for that team.
Right.
I think.
That's one of those moves
put
that
you over the top.
You look at it on the surface and you go, okay, what is Avery Bradley? Not the player that he was a few years ago, but he's a proven veteran who's been in the league, and this is a guy that's going to be in a bench role, a role that I think he can, you know, he can, I don't know, thrive, but play well.
But the other story that came out today from Yahoo is that LeBron James is going to be the starting point guard, right.
So the starting backcourt for the Lakers will be LeBron at the point and Danny Green at the two.
And I'm wondering if that's Frank Vogel's idea or came up from above or whatever. See, this is what I'm worried about. And do you trust the Laker fans out there? I know LeBron could do no wrong in this for some of you, but I'm wondering, is that a good thing? LeBron taking over control, probably. I mean, I think you'd rather have him than Rondo. Obviously. Even though that was the case last year when he wasn't hurt. We had Lonzo Ball too when he wasn't hurt, but now you're gonna have Green, you're gonna have LeBron, you're gonna have Anthony Davis.
I think they've done a good job at building out a pretty good roster around the two superstars. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a good job. Especially with how little cap space they actually had.
I just wonder, and I'll keep saying it for Frank Vogel's sake, how much respect they're going to show that man, which he deserves. I think he's a hell of a coach. And how much is this going to be LeBron's team and him being coaching? Is Vogel going to be like assistant coach Lou? I don't see Frank Vogel falling into that role. I don't think he'd ever say anything public about it, but I think he has to lay the law down pretty quickly, because I'm just sorry. I just see LeBron, Boogie Cousins, and Rondo on the floor at the same time at times during the season. That's an interesting threesome to try to control.
Well, when I hear LeBron going to the point, this immediately to me, this screams, this is a pick and roll offense. We're gonna it's gonna be LeBron bringing the ball up the court, pick and roll action with the new number 23, Anthony Davis, every single time. And if you can stop it, you're going to have a pretty good shot at stopping the Lakers. It's a nice roster around there. I think Danny Green's huge. To have a shooter on the court, that's awesome for them. And I like the move of moving LeBron to point guard. I like it. You get to utilize LeBron. You get to utilize his – he has basketball – He is a very smart basketball player.
Is he going to have to make some sacrifices to get to the title?
I think he'll.
Does he have the mental capacity to make some sacrifices? People say he passes too much.
I think he has had that criticism. I think now, though, with Anthony Davis kind of being. He's been the best. Anthony Davis is the best player LeBron's played with. You can make the argument for Wade because Wade was still on an elite level.
I think you make a big argument for Wade.
But Anthony Davis is 26. Like, Wade was starting to show signs of deterioration at the beginning, especially towards the end of that. Anthony Davis can be the primary scorer. If LeBron's the leading scorer on the Lakers, I don't think they've utilized the pieces properly. I think Anthony Davis should be the leading scorer on the Lakers next season.
What do you think the odds of that happening are?
If we're talking about one averaging
26 and one averaging 24, then that's kind of even. I mean, but if it's a big discrepancy, like 26 or 25 for LeBron and 18,
18
or 20, I mean, if it's off by 6 or 7 points, it may not seem like a lot, but it is for that kind of talent on the team. I kind of agree with you. But I'll still, if there's a prop bet out there, who's going to be the leading scorer on the Lakers next year, I'm taking LeBron.
See, I'll take AD. Stammer time texting in the projected starting lineup. Pal, we're just passing along what Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports is telling us. He's telling us LeBron's the point guard, not Rajon Rondo, and Danny Green is going to be the shooting guard next to him in the backcourt.
Yeah, Stammer time, Yahoo broke this story a little while ago, about 90 minutes ago. So, no, it's going to be Danny Green and LeBron at point guard. The rest of it.
So we're talking about the offensive side of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, come get it.
Yeah.
That's a huge team that they're going to be putting out on the court.
Yeah.
Huge.
Depending if DeMarcus can stay healthy and his heart is into it.
Yeah.
Could be very formidable. Really could. All right. Still got some more baseball stuff to get to. And we'll run down the participants in the Home Run Derby. And Chris and I at the end of the show are going to, pick it. It's such a crapshoot. Very rarely there's a favorite win this thing.
Pete Alonso.
I'm rooting for him.
I like Pete Alonso.
I'm rooting for him.
Tampa kid.
Yeah, that's right. He's a Tampa kid. Matt Chapman, I wouldn't mind seeing him when he replaces Yelich. And we talked about Yelich is coming under fire. The guy wants to play in the it's more important for these guys to play in the game, the actual game, than do the Home Run Derby contest.
Too many guys
get screwed up with their swing or they tweak an oblique.
Well, he said he's still planning on participating in the Home Run Derby at some point in his career, just not going to be able to be this year.
All right, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. Also got Wikipedia coming up at 4:45. It's National Video Game Day, so the questions will, of course, center around video games. You call and try to win a great prize and try to stump me. It's all part of Sheeman and Shepard coming up. We're here until 6 o'clock. Craig is off, but Pete is back. That's me, Chris, on the other side of the glass. He's co-hosting with me this week as well. All part of the Sheeman and Shepard experience right here on 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Back here at Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Craig is off for the week. I'm back from vacay. Chris in the house as well.
Got a Magic Johnson tweet.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, just coming down. Laker Nation, I'm dreaming about the fourth quarter Lakers team with LeBron, Anthony Davis, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, and Kyle Kuzma. That's almost unbeatable. Almost.
Didn't he tweet out something about the Clippers as well? LA is a place to be after Kawhi went there.
We can read some Irvin Magic Johnson tweets right now.
Yeah.
Congratulated the U.S. women's team.
While I was gone, did you have any OJ?
No, he tweeted.
I'm looking. I just went on the site now. I haven't seen it in a while.
So he tweeted about the night one and the night two of the
debate, the Democratic
debate.
Was
that his last tweet?
No, he's got another one. He was on some podcast today. It was on the third. Tim Graham's part for having me on the show to discuss some of my favorite things, running backs, fantasy football, and, of course, the Buffalo Bills.
I do love his fantasy football coverage.
It was ridiculous. He wanted
Pat Mahomes number one.
No, but he talked about Gurley being his number one overall pick.
Gurley, right ago. There. I don't agree with that one.
No, well, you can't.
Don't agree with that. We don't know. We don't know. What is Sean McVay going to do? What he did last year with Gurley and ride you all the way to
he's
the
cut
fantasy football?
In his knee. I don't know how. I don't know how effective he's going to be. Oh, I'm looking at his tweets just popped up. Mac just popped up to mine. There you go. And dreaming about the fourth quarter Lakers team with LeBron, AD, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Kyle Kuzma.
It's
almost unbeatable.
It's a big lineup. It's a good defensive lineup as well.
Yep. Looks great on paper. Fantastic.
And like I got to write Kyle Kuzma's name in like Sharpie on this window in front of me because I keep forgetting about him on this roster.
Yeah, and again, Yahoo reported today that LeBron James is going to be the starting point guard. Danny Green is going to be the other guard in the backcourt. So Rondo's going to be out. So that you're going to have Kuzma. You're going to have Anthony Davis, and Boogie Cousins. That's what you're going to have.
It's a big team. That is a big team.
Good team on paper.
You know, does a team like it'll be interesting to see like when Golden State comes back fully healthy. The shooting versus the size, kind of the shooting that they're going to have out on the court, but they don't have a lot in the middle. I know they still got Draymond, but Kevon Looney, I'd give a big advantage to the Lakers at center there, or at least the whole front court.
I agree. They also have Pope coming off the bench. You got Jared Dudley coming off the bench.
Did you see his Twitter picture, by the way?
No.
He changed it. He's like, oh, the Lakers now have the big three. It was LeBron at the centerpiece, Anthony Davis on one side, and Jared Dudley on the other.
Oh, Lord.
It was funny. He clearly did it as a spoof.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good for him. That's great. But like I said, it's Frank Vogel out there, and I'm just wondering how much power he is going to have over LeBron. Maybe there won't be any friction, but when has LeBron not had friction with his head coach overall?
Yeah,
except for Ty Lue, when has it not happened?
It's been an ongoing occurrence with him throughout his career. Even his time in Miami with Spoelstra, which I think by the end of it, they had a respect for one another. But at the beginning, no, I absolutely believe the reports that LeBron went into Pat Riley's office to try to get him down back coaching again.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Oklahoma City today traded Jeremy Grant to Denver for another first-round pick, this one in 2020. They saved $39 million in salary and tax. They now have 6 future first-round picks, like the Celtics did.
And this 6! Everybody's saying that this is, you know, Broussard, Woj, Bobby Marks, all the NBA insiders saying that this is just a prelude to the first move before Russell Wilson, Westbrook ultimately gets traded. And a couple of teams that are being thrown around. Detroit seems to be throwing their hat in the ring here.
I think Miami's a front runner.
I think Miami is a team as well. I've seen some stuff with the Orlando Magic sniffing around, which would be interesting to have a big-time player back in that market.
By the way, Despina Barton's going to join us tomorrow at 3:30, and she covers the Magic.
Right, so we'll get
along with UCF football. Yep. We'll get to her perspective.
We'll get some Orlando sports from her. And then this team, this GM just has a tough time keeping his mouth shut this time of the year. Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets. Can you imagine that backcourt?
Yep.
I mean, they all be 6'4" and under, but still, I mean, explosive where anybody in the backcourt with him, Chris Paul, or James Harden could go off for 35 on any given night.
But it's talk about chemistry issues.
Oh, who
Westbrook and Chris Paul?
There's one basketball. If we were playing with 3 basketballs on the court, it's a great team.
Be a great Papa Shot team individually.
Great team.
How could that? I mean, I can't see that. I just can't see it.
But again,
would that be interesting?
But going back to what we all, this was before Jimmy Butler completed the sign and trade to Miami, but Houston. That was the guy that they were targeting. Daryl Morey came out on Golic and Wingo and said, we got one guy we're targeting. We'd love to get him. Turns out that was Jimmy Butler. Russell Westbrook would be.
Even Jimmy Butler on that team. What would that be like with Chris Paul and James Harden?
It'd be volatile. Is what it would be. They'd have nights where you look like they would look like they're the best team in NBA history.
Can you imagine?
And then they would have nights where they would be arguing with each other on the court while the game is going on. I 100% believe that.
I totally agree. And
so does Westbrook going to Detroit teaming up with Blake Griffin, does that make the most sense? Does it make sense for the Heat to try to make a move for him? And you have a backcourt of Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler?
See, I that idea only because I think it adds some spark. It adds some interest to the Heat that you're sorely lacking. Get star power again. Could be volatile. Could be just as bad, those two. Like we talked about in Houston. I'm not saying it can't be.
But
I would love to see that happen.
That's at least a pairing, though, where I could see two, you know, hyper competitive guys like that, where they're at least on the same page with each other. Houston would be great for us.
How would D'Antoni handle you? Talk about Vogel and LA. D'Antoni can't get Harden to pass the ball. You know, doesn't know how to adjust sometimes, or either that or he's just talking and no one's listening. To me, it's about Harden. He's got to tweak his game a little bit. You got to make some sacrifices here and there. And do whatever you want in the regular season. We all know this comes down to this team had no business losing to Golden State. Too many 17-point leads blown in that series. And the same thing last year, 2 years ago, in Game 7. They had it. But they can't finish. And I was wary of the Raptors this year. I was. I didn't think but they proved me wrong. They did. They took it to Golden State. They did it, and they blew some leads too. But they got it done. I don't know if the Rockets on paper, but I don't know if they're ever going to be able to get it done. They can't get it done. If they stayed mainly together this year, Chris, no one's talking about them.
No, I know because we actually did it. We did it in the 2 o'clock hour, going through each of the conferences, and I believe the Rockets were the sixth team we mentioned in the West having a shot, which. That's on us. That's not on anything that they've just been so quiet, and they haven't done anything to their roster apart from re-signing Austin Rivers.
Yeah.
They haven't done a lot to their roster. Versus you've had Utah go out and make the trade for Mike Conley. Both the Los Angeles teams doing what they do. Portland getting to the Western Conference finals last year. The West is just loaded top to bottom. So it's almost like.
You're looking at
but the one team that's been able to knock out the Rockets the last 2 years, they're not what they were, the Golden State Warriors.
But can Houston get that? Can they get Westbrook? They can. I'm trying to think who Houston can get. I mean, you look at their starting lineup right now for the Rockets, right? Harden, Paul, Capella. Again, a contract they're trying to get out of, right?
Yeah.
PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, and Austin Rivers coming off the bench with Shumpert, Gerald Green. I mean. So how do they get – what do they get? What in return would Oklahoma City want if they made that deal?
Probably Capella.
Would they take Chris Paul? You'd think they would try to unload him, one for the other?
No. We've seen what OKC is doing. They acquire – what, they've acquired 6 first-round draft picks in the last half a week?
Yeah, they have 6.
I don't know why OKC would take on a massive contract with a guy on the wrong side of 30. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, but what's their bigger play? They're going to wait. They're going to tank it, or they don't have an awful team after all these trades. They're okay.
But good. I mean, but honestly, OKC, we saw last year, just the last 2 years with Russ and Paul George. Like it's a nice regular season team, but it's not championship caliber. So why not tear it down?
Yeah, and right now you're looking at them. They got, again, Westbrook for now. George isn't there anymore. What do you got? Ferguson? They traded Grant.
Yeah, they don't have a lot.
Yeah, they don't have a lot. How are you going to sell tickets to that team, for next year? I mean, why are you going? Especially if Russell Westbrook gets traded, which I think he will. And what are you looking at? Why are you going to see Oklahoma City? What do they got? What is Billy Donovan going to do? Seriously.
Well, I think he'll be back in the college game here shortly.
Maybe.
I've thought for a long time a great landing great landing place for Billy Donovan in the college game is Syracuse. He's got, you know, he played college in the old Big East, so he kind of understands what's going on up there.
Yeah, absolutely. He gets it. There's no question. In college, he'd be a tremendous coach no matter what program he went to. You know, assuming Boeheim's going to retire.
Oh, he'll Boeheim will be gone once his kid graduates. Yeah. I believe he was a freshman this year.
Probably.
His kid actually had some game. I was pleasantly surprised when they got into the ACC tournament and he started playing real minutes.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
Kid was a player.
Yeah,
much more than Coach Cal's kid, who transferred out from Kentucky last week, by the way.
Did you see that? But I wonder if I wonder if there's some animosity there, or is it just like, I'm just going to go. I'll go someplace, a smaller mid-major where I can play a little bit, work on my graduation.
You mean he didn't know that at Kentucky? That he wasn't going to play a lot. His dad forgot to tell him that in the recruiting pitch.
No, but I think sometimes you get caught up in it. If your dad was coaching North Carolina,
yeah, I'd go there.
You'd go there.
Yeah,
but
that's a no-brainer right there.
But if you found out you weren't getting the minutes that you thought you were, and there was another school, say Temple, Dayton, something like that, said, well, you start right away. And you go, would you go there?
I would love it.
But you'd always care about your academics first. We know
of
that.
Of course, yes. Because that's exactly the motto athlete. I had when I was a student, not even a student athlete. I would love to play college basketball in the Northeast.
Okay, I mean, it could be anywhere. I'm talking about
I think they're UCF. Great. I think they're great fan bases up there, particularly because you bring up Temple.
Yeah, no, it's a great basketball
city.
Philadelphia is a great basketball city. The Northeast is got great. Passionate basketball.
Yeah, I think New York tries to be a great.
Going back to the Big East is a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. So that is a good thing for the Big East. It just didn't make sense in the AAC.
No, but I mean, after the Big East disbanded,
but a big loss, big loss for AAC women's college basketball when you lose UConn.
Not really. They were 126-0, I believe. 126-0.
I know.
And weren't even close. Most of the games weren't even close. All right, it's that time. It's 4:45, so we'll take caller number 9 right now. Time to play Wikipedia. Try to stump me. Caller number 9 at 239-337-3776. And the genre, the topic of the day is going to be national. It's video games. National Video Game Day. Try to stump me, 239-337-3776. Win a great prize. Wikipedia up next right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, it's the first time I played Wikipedia a couple weeks. I like the category, though. It's National Video Game Day. So let's get right to it. Welcome our caller, Jared from Naples. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Very good. And yourself?
Great. Welcome to Wikipedia. Now, Craig always asks how old you are and what you do. I don't care. but you can say it anyway for the record. How old you are and what do you do?
I'm 31 and I work for Hilti.
Nice.
Account manager.
Great. Excellent. Excellent. So you ready to play Wikipedia? How's your video game knowledge?
Really good. You better be ready.
I have no doubt.
All right. I feel a win right here for Jared.
I do too.
All right, Jared. Question 1. What is the curse in the NFL called for anyone featured on the cover of the most popular football video game?
The Madden curse.
What nothing?
Why don't you just ask him what the color of the sky is?
That changes by the hour this time of year. All right. Pete.
Yo.
What iconic game is the highest selling video game of all time with over 170 million copies sold?
Oh. Now, this is just strictly video games, not like PC games. So like Warcraft, I'm just throwing out like Warcraft is not going to be part of.
Yeah,
like,
it's an older game. I'll throw that out there. It's been on multiple platforms.
Highest selling video game of all time.
Really shouldn't give you hints like that, but yeah.
You know, like I want.
Don't make me give you the countdown on your first question.
No, I'm overthinking it. Is it going to be like Mario Brothers? Like that.
It's not Mario Brothers. All right, Jared. What iconic video game is the highest selling video game of all time with over 170 million copies sold?
The Legend of Zelda?
That would be Tetris that we're looking for.
Really?
Tetris.
I love Tetris. I have it on my app on my really?
Yes.
God, my Lex would have been, I would have gone real law school and said Pong, you know, or Space Invaders or
all
something
right,
like that.
All right, Jared, what console encourages users to strap the remote control to their wrist so they don't let the remote go during play?
Nintendo Wii.
Very good.
All right. Question number two. You should get this one.
Yeah, I should. I got his. What's the
name of Mario's brother?
Luigi.
I didn't know how hard I should go on some of these questions, so they get pretty easy right
here.
That's not bad. All right, Jared, what's the name of the Microsoft gaming console for the win?
Xbox.
Jeez.
Big winner!
Nice job, Jared.
All right, Jared, you got all your information. Thank you for playing, and good job beating Pete.
No, all right, so hang on the line, and then I want to hear some of these other questions, see how I would have done. How many got left?
All right, we got three questions left. Right. Yeah, Jared's got all the information he needs.
Thanks, Jared. Good job.
What video game franchise has Black Ops as one of these subtitles?
Call of Duty.
Good job.
All right.
The Covenant is a military alien race in what popular video game franchise?
I know this too. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
The Covenant. It's a franchise. It's like Call of Duty, but it's not. It's
but it's fake.
Yes, I know. I don't know.
Halo would be the answer to that question.
Yes.
Halo.
Oh, the original Halo is still.
Oh, still a great. Well, I'll go Halo 2.
I never got Halo 2. Halo 2. I never finished Halo 1.
Yes, Halo 2. The different maps that they have. Fantastic. And last question, what video game franchise has a male and female character that eats pellets, fruits, and ghosts?
Male and female character.
There's a male.
Pac-Man.
There you go.
Pac-Man. See, we're thinking it. Nice. I miss Pac-Man. Anyway. All right. 3 hours down, one more to go. When we come back, when you get back into the Women's World Cup a little bit, their 2-0 win over the Netherlands, and a very interesting article that came out today in Forbes magazine. And once again, we'll try to explain the difference between why the men get $440 million and the women are getting $60 million in the respective World Cup scenarios coming up in the next couple of years. And maybe once I give you these other numbers and give you the facts, instead of just going on raw emotion about what happens in this country and look at the bigger picture worldwide, maybe some of you, not all of you, some of you will get it. 239-337-3776. We'll also update our Twin Peaks Twitter poll as well. All part of the Sheeman and Shepherd Show. Hour number four up next on 99.3 ESPN and 99.3 ESPN app.